Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're discovering what being spiritually contagious is all about.
Now, I believe that we can embrace an atmosphere of faith, and when people are contagious about their faith, they believe the Word of God, they believe what God says about what He can do, and contagious people full of the zeal of God, they come expectant that this Jesus, this mighty Jesus, will show up.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, what is your temperature right now? No, we're not testing you for COVID. Mark, how many times have we been tested for our temperature lately? But spiritually, where are you on the hot-cold scale? Let's talk about being passionate for Jesus today, huh?
Yeah, Wayne, Acts chapter 2 actually talks about the early church and some of their culture, some of the habits that they embrace. What made them this small group of people that eventually touched tens of thousands of people? It was their contagious faith.
Mm-hmm.
And in this message, you're going to learn what are some of the habits that kept their faith contagious.
All right, sounds exciting. Let's learn from Acts chapter 2 now as we open our Bible. This is from our Red Hot Faith series and the start of this latest message, Contagious People.
There are literally hundreds and hundreds of churches in the perimeters of this city, and most of those churches have under 80 people in them, and most of those buildings are fairly empty. In fact, we as a church have had to restart 8 churches that many of them were about to die. And really, what people are looking for is a group of people, a community of faith that is zealous about their God. Have you ever been on a hot summer night and the porch light is on and it's dark? What starts to be attracted to that light? Bugs. Flies and gnats and bugs. Why? They're attracted to the light and to the heat. I mean, they just come and they just buzz around and are attracted to it. In the very same way, I believe that when a people of God are zealous and on fire, it attracts people to their midst. People are curious. People want to see people that really are living out their faith. Not perfect people, but people that are zealous about their faith. And today I want to talk to you really about that. I want to talk to you about how to maintain red hot faith and become contagious people. And in order to do so, I would like to you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to be looking at verses 42 through 47 of Acts chapter 2 as I talk to you about how to become contagious people with red hot faith. I'm reading out of the NIV version, and I would like for you just to stand with me as we read verses 42 through 47. Stand for the reading of the word, please. The church had just started. A group of people was coming together. They were in Jerusalem. There weren't multiple churches. There was just one church in Jerusalem. And it says of them that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Word of the Lord, you may be seated. If I were to ask you today, right now, what spiritual temperature do you believe that you have? I don't shout it out loud, but what would you answer? Think about it for a moment. What is your spiritual temperature? The key word that comes up is passion. Passion is the difference between enthusiastic action and simply going through the motions. Passion is the fire in your belly that motivates you to extraordinary living. The Bible often talks about passion as zeal, fire. Their words that are related to it are translated fire, enthusiasm, earnestness. So I want to talk to you about how to keep your spiritual temperature high. And I want you to understand this. You are responsible for your spiritual temperature. Your pastor's not responsible for it. Your small group leader's not responsible for it. The guy on Christian radio's not responsible for it. Whether you are on fire for God right now, zealous for God or not, is really, you can point to a lot of factors and blame a lot of things, but ultimately, you are responsible for what kind of zeal or fire that you have for God today. So let me tell you the five practices, the five marks of spiritually contagious people that I see found in this passage. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can jot it on the back of your bulletin. Number one, spiritually contagious people, they practice habits that fan the flame of passionate spirituality. They have habits in their life that stoke the flame of their passionate spirituality. Notice what it says in verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves. That word devoted implies high commitment and regular practice. Devoted means that they showed steady attention to something. They weren't casual about it. It wasn't just hit and miss. I mean, they were committed to this. So the early church was committed to four practices. Four practices that I believe if you and I commit to on a regular basis will have a dramatic difference on our spiritual temperature. Number one, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. Now you have to understand that in those days, when this was written, people did not have Bibles like we have. The Gutenberg press had not been discovered and the printing press was not available. So all they had was copies of the Old Testament, and the copies of the Old Testament scrolls had to be copied by hand by a group of people called the scribes. So normal people like you and I did not have scrolls of the Old Testament at home. The only places where those scrolls existed were in the synagogues or the temples, and they were hard to get a hold of. So when it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, most of the people that gathered together, it was the oral teaching of the apostles. There were 12 apostles that walked with Jesus. They were the inner circle that Jesus was with. When Jesus left, he commissioned them to teach them. So they would gather around the early believers, and the apostles would teach them the word of God, and these people were devoted to it. They memorized it. They rehearsed it. They spoke about it. They talked about it. Let me tell you, today, if you live in America, there's really no excuse for us not to have a Bible. Seriously. I mean, we have the large letter edition. We have the leadership edition. We have the miniature Bible. We have the Holy Spirit Bible. We have King James Bible. We have NIV Bible. We have online Bible. We have the paraphrase Bible. We have the traditional Bible. You want a nice cover, you have the skateboarders cover. You have the just the traditional, old-fashioned, big cover Bible. I mean, you name it, and we have access to it. We need to be challenged, not just to have a Bible, but to get into our Bible. The Bible is the inerrant, infallible, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. It's not a book with nice stories that contains the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It was written by quite a few authors over a large period of time, hundreds of years, but inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, accurate, preserved by God for our day and age, so that every portion of this Bible is the Word of God. And there's something powerful that happens when you read it and digest it and memorize it and meditate on it. It has the power to transform your soul. It does something to you. It's the living Word of God. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, I listen to the Word. Every Sunday I come and hear you preaching to the Word, and that is great, and that's all I need. And I say, no, 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 hold on a second. That's like saying you eat one big meal once a week. And I want to challenge you, if you think that's enough, try eating the way you read the Bible. Next time, say, I'm going to only eat as many times as I read the Bible. I want to see how strong you are at the end of the week. Some of you are going to drag yourself in here and say, what's wrong? I've been fasting all week. You know, because you can't eat one big meal and expect that it lasts the whole week. I get into the Bible. My goal is to get in the Bible every day because I need the sustenance of the Word of God every day in my life. If you're going to keep your spirit red hot, it's the Word of God that speaks to you. You say, well, I've already read the Bible. Why do I need to read it again? Oh, because the Bible's not a book you read once. It's a spiritual infusion that you get every day. I've read the Bible multiple times, and certain verses I've read hundreds of times, if not thousands of times. But at that unique moment of time, the Holy Spirit will take a verse and a passage, and he'll speak to my heart for that day, at that moment, for that season, because that's the way God works.
We'll continue today's lesson in a moment. This is Bold Steps with our Bible teacher, Mark Job. First, I want to give a very big thank you to our Bold partners who keep this ministry going through your monthly gifts. Mark, I can't say enough about our friends.
Yeah, we are so grateful for people really all across the country that say, this program has touched my life, but I want it to continue to touch other people's lives, like people in Africa. We're in Malawi,
yeah.
Mozambique, Tanzania.
We're in many parts of the world, but we're particularly excited about this outreach in Africa right
now.
Yeah,
because we just started a couple of months ago, and we're seeing so many people responding directly. People that haven't quite understood the gospel, like this listener that wrote us recently and said this, I now have come to my senses that Jesus is indeed the Lord of my life as indicated in the Bible. And
praise
I realized,
God. Wow.
Yeah, I realize what Mark Job said in the line with God's word is true. That is why I decided to receive him in my heart to be Lord of my life. May you please continue dishing out messages such as these so that many of my fellow brothers and sisters should also come to know Jesus as I did myself.
That comes from Tanzania.
Tanzania. I love this. And Bold Partners, you're helping us take the gospel of Jesus Christ through the airwaves to people that probably would not be able to hear unless it was because of your donation, your prayer, and your commitment. So thank you.
Bold Partners, we couldn't do this without you. We are so appreciative. And if you would like to become a Bold Partner with Bold Steps, just go to our website, boldstepsradio.org. You choose the amount to give each month, but if you do give $30 or more, you'll receive some very special benefits that we've talked about before and are listed on our website. So check it out, boldstepsradio.org. Today's message is titled Contagious People, and it continues right now.
And it says the early church, one of the habits that they had is that they were devoted, committed to the apostles' teaching. Number two, they were also not only committed to the apostles' teaching, but to fellowship. The word in the Greek there is koinonia. That word koinonia means association, communion, fellowship, participation. It means sharing something together. They did not just do fellowship, they were committed or devoted to fellowship. Let me tell you the difference. Someone says, well, you know, I was, you know, out in the foyer fellowshipping. It pretty much means you were drinking coffee and chatting about the Bears. And that's part of fellowship, hanging out with people. But to be devoted to fellowship means this. It means they were devoted to the habit of coming together with other people that they allowed into their lives. So they're devoted to regularly getting into the Word, meditating, memorizing, studying the Word, the apostles' teaching, but they were also devoted to fellowship. I can guarantee you this, that Christianity was not meant to be lived in isolation, just you and God, your personal relationship with God. If you have a view of Christianity, which means it's just me and God, then you have an unhealthy view of Christianity, because really, God has called you to live out your Christianity in the context of a community. If you're going to keep your spirit red hot, you need Christians in your life that you hang with, that you pray with, that you do birthday parties with, that you can pour out your soul, that they can encourage you, challenge you, rebuke you when you're going off course, encourage you when you need to stay on course. You need people in your life that know your name, that know your business, that are doing life together with you. You need those kind of people. That's what the Bible talks about, fellowship. There's no substitute for relationships. Number three, not only were they committed to the Word, they were devoted to fellowship. But the third thing it says they were devoted to is breaking of bread. Some of you are saying, finally, something I like to do. I like to eat. They were devoted to eating. No. Breaking of bread is another way of saying communion. They referred to what we celebrate communion, the cup and the bread. In other words, worship. Worship together centered around the cross. They were devoted to the Word. They were devoted to relationships with other believers. They were devoted to worship around the cross of Jesus. And then number four, they were devoted to prayer. Not just prayer, but we see also from this context and other passages of the New Testament that they were devoted to prayer and fasting. Now look up at me. This is huge. I can guarantee you that if you are not in the practice of getting into the Word, of regular fellowship, of worshiping God and spending in and out of corporate worship and praying, that if you start making these habits a serious part of your weekly routine, that your spiritual temperature will automatically start to raise as you start to practice these habits. And I challenge you, if you feel a little lukewarm right now, if your heart's not on fire like it needs to be, I challenge you to take a couple of weeks and put into practice these four habits, and I can guarantee that your heart will start to steadily increase in its fervency and its zeal for God, because these are the habits that keep our heart on fire. It says the early church was devoted to these things. Number two, not only do contagious people practice the habits that fan the flame of passionate spirituality, but they embrace an atmosphere of faith and expectation. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You see, the second thing that contagious people have, that have a zeal for God, is not only do they stoke their own heart and keep it on fire, but they embrace an atmosphere of faith and expectation. It says all the believers in the early believers were in awe at the signs and wonders that God was doing. In other words, they came with an expectation that God is going to move. Do you realize that the atmosphere that we create is largely based on the faith that we bring to the place? Do you realize that there's atmospheres in which God can really work and atmospheres in which God chooses not to work because it's not an atmosphere that's conducive to his power? In Mark, in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, it talks about Jesus going to the town where he grew up in. And it says the town where he grew up, and he could do no miracles there because of their unbelief. Think about that for a second. that when Jesus went to his hometown, he could do no miracles in his hometown except to heal a few people because there was a lack of faith in his own hometown. I've thought of that, about that many times, and I've come to the conclusion that the reason they had a lack of faith in Jesus' hometown is that they believed in the Jesus that they had grown up with, but not in the Jesus who was the Messiah. You see, Jesus did not really step into his full ministry until he was 30 years old. He withheld himself from manifesting himself as the Son of God until he was 30. His first miracle happened when he was around 30. Although he could do miracles before, he was always the Son of God. He did not fully embrace his mission until he was 30. He lived really a low-key life. So think about it. If you had been raised with Jesus, maybe you call him Jesse. You know Jesse? Yeah, the kid down the street. You know Mary and Joe, Joe's kid. Who? Yeah, you know the carpenter, Joe. He built our table. We bought a table from him. You know, he sanded that down, did a good job. Jesse, their son. So you grow up, you know him, you know his family. There's no real expectation that he's going to do anything because you don't really know who he is. He's living low key. And at 30 years old, he leaves his hometown and he manifests himself as the Son of God. And then suddenly he's baptized 40 days in the wilderness. And then you hear rumors that he's raising the dead and touching the lame and opening the eyes of the blind. And suddenly this Jesse who you grew up with becomes something that you're not used to. And so when Jesus comes back to his own hometown, no one believes that he has the power to do what they've heard that he's done. No one believes that he's the Son of God. He's just Joe's kid. Some of you have grown up with Jesus in religious environments where you went to church and the Jesus that you looked at was a Jesus on the crucifix of the church that you went to. And you remember that he had nails in his hand, and you remember the statue where there was blood dripping down his face, and he was the crucified Jesus, the suffering Savior. And so there was an empathy that you felt with him, especially when you were going through a hard time. You would go and you'd look up at the face of that suffering Jesus, and you would say, Jesus, I'm going through a hard time like you went through a hard time. You can empathize with my suffering because I'm suffering right now. We both have a tough life, and I appreciate your compassion, and maybe if you could do something for me. But let me tell you, you have connected to a crucified Jesus, but you've forgotten that crucified Jesus is not crucified anymore. He's a resurrected Jesus.
You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching ministry of Mark Jobe. We'll continue with part two of our message, Contagious People, when we return for tomorrow's program. So make plans now to join us again. But right now, we encourage you to visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. Browse through some of the exciting opportunities and resources we're currently offering, like this month's Bold Steps gift. It's a book with an urgent message for parents of today's generation. To give us a sneak peek of this valuable resource, here's Mark.
Modern technology is a two-edged sword, and when this sword is placed in the hands of a young child, it often carries more risk than reward. One wrong tap of a button can lead our children into perilous places they never should be. And so as parents, we must be discerning and diligent in this new age of technology. That's why I'm so passionate about this month's Bold Step gift. It's a book called Screen Kids, written by Dr. Gary Chapman and Arlene Pellicane. Through story, science, and wisdom, these forward-thinking authors help us recognize the boundaries that need to be set, the skills that need to be taught, and the lessons we all need to learn about living in a tech-driven world. Screens have infiltrated every area of our children's lives, and as loving parents, we must know how to confront and conquer this new frontier. So, request your copy of Screen Kids when you give a gift of any amount today to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone listening can give their gift right now at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And as always, you can send your gift through the mail right to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And before we end today's program, I want to remind you that if you ever miss one of these daily messages, or if you'd like to listen while you're working out or strolling through the neighborhood, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. With the podcast, you'll have complete mobile access to each of these daily lessons wherever you go. Simply open up your favorite podcast app on your phone or smart device and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and then click the subscribe button. You can also listen through your smart speakers at home or on any Alexa or Siri-enabled device. For more details on how to set up this convenient hands-free listening option, just visit boldstepsradio.org. And with that, I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you back tomorrow for the conclusion of our message, Contagious People. That's Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.